In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Planning any wedding is big news. Think of everything to do, things to arrange, people to invite, venues, readings. In fact, these days, things like, will we be able to stick to that date? And how many people may we be allowed to invite? There's so much that often it gets to the point where one half of the couple is so punch drunk they can't absorb it anymore. You hear things like, do you like this? With a response of, fine. It's always been the same throughout history. Anne Hathaway summed it up quite nicely why so much effort goes into it. Weddings are really important because they celebrate life and possibility. And I really like the bit she says about celebrating life and possibility. The gospel for today, the story of Jesus at a wedding, the revelation of who he is and what he is able to do. The word to remember for today is archtriclinos. We'll come back to that later. But first, a bit of cultural background. First century Hebrew weddings were immense affairs. Everyone was invited, whole communities. It's announced well in advance and is seen as the chief celebration of the year. It's easy to see why the Jews of the time thought heaven would be like a wedding banquet. So the first hearers of the story would come to this story with great expectation of what was going to happen. So do we have great expectations of what God can and will do? Well, I'll leave that one for you to mull over. It's right to have great expectations of what Jesus can do, the Son of God, God-man, God-made man. God will do anything for us through Jesus. But, and there's always a but, we have to be open to the Spirit and trust. Put simply, we have to think much bigger than we tend to do. But back to the wedding in the Gospel. We don't know a lot about Cana, but we know that it's where Nathanael from last week's reading was from. So he's about to see something incredible on his third day of being a follower of Jesus. The third having obvious overtones. A date's been announced by the family. Now, we have to remember that everyone knew everyone. The world population was something like 200 million at the time. It was a time for the host to honour the community. Or put it this way, it's like everyone in Bobruk coming to the celebration. It's a lot of wine, if nothing else. There'd be large amounts of eating and drinking. A ritual that could take over a week. And nothing but nothing must run out, or it brought disgrace on the family. It's the biggest party anyone was ever likely to attend. The groom then comes at night for his bride, takes her back to his house, and the celebrations begin. Now, gift-giving was carefully considered. It wasn't like having a list at John Lewis. It wasn't just a gesture of goodwill, but was used as a means of bringing honour on the couple and the family. In fact, legal ramifications followed when appropriate custom was not followed because it implied public shame on the couple. Knowing all this cultural background, it's no wonder the servants are worked up when the wine runs out. For the hosts, this is an enormous dishonouring crisis, something that they would never get over. And Jesus is thrust into the middle of this situation, into the middle of this crisis. Jesus' public ministry has only been going a few days, and on the third day, which has overtones, doesn't it, also for Nathanael, he goes to a wedding. Now, Mary's probably the main invite. Jesus and his friends come along. They're probably what we might call evening guests in today's parlance. Most unusually, she asks him to help with the wine, which really wasn't his responsibility. Maybe he's been approached as the couple of relations. Maybe it's because Jesus is now head of the family. Now, we have to be honest. Jesus' response of, "Woman, why do you involve me?" seems rude, abrupt even, certainly unexpected. But it was simply the formal response of the day. But as an aside, and it's an important aside, we need to be careful never to take the Bible out of context. It's too easy to read with literal 21st century eyes. If we don't understand the context, our witness and evangelism will be flawed. In worse cases, we could just be plain wrong. That's no use as we seek to nurture people in the faith. Now at the wedding there are 6 stone jars for ritual purification. They're not for wine. We need to remember that Jesus can work with things we can't imagine. Just think of what that could mean for us. So he says, "Now draw some out and take it to the arch triclinus." I said we'd come back to that. Remember the word. Well, he is the master of the feast. Arch, meaning over in charge of things, as in archbishop. Tri, 3. Klinos, couches. So he's the master in charge of the 3 couches. Which sounds a bit odd. The feast, you see, is set out in a U. And this is the guy who would be getting worried. It's his fault if it runs out. But he tastes the wine and is amazed. I mean, that's not just it. The arch triclinus can't get over how good it is. Not only is there a lot of it, it's about 1,000 bottles in today's sizes, but it's the best. He can't quite believe it. And particularly when it's cold and dark and we're locked down and cut off from our loved ones, that's something we can fall into. We can't believe that Jesus can be that good. We can't believe that God can be so abundant. We can't believe that things can change so remarkably quickly for the best. If that's what we're feeling, and it would seem quite reasonable, at times like this we need to remember the words of the arch triclinus. "You have saved the best till now." Jesus is at a celebration and we're called to be joyful. It doesn't mean Chardonnay on your cornflakes though. Although, by the way, wine was standard at all meals in those times. So remember, when things are back to normal, we're called to socialise. To be right in the heart of the community, in the Galton, the Vernon, the Bridge, the Chequers, or wherever you like to go. And some food for thought. The messianic banquet has already begun with the incarnation. The wedding is a metaphor for the kingdom. When it is our turn to join that feast, it will be the best, the most abundant. It will be the biggest celebration. Miracles do happen. So we need to think big about what can happen in all our churches. It's good to celebrate. It's good to celebrate our relationship with Jesus. It's good to celebrate the new wine. God's love is extravagant. Just trust in that this week, however you're feeling. And perhaps do so the next time you raise a glass. Amen.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. My strength, my shield. My spirit.